That was great. Thank you, Shan, Janine, everybody who had anything to do with the kids. I saw them making some of these cards, and it was like this. It was too precious for words. Okay. So, happy Mother's Day. Today is not going to be the kind of Mother's Day that's all cutesy and ticklish and all that. I really felt a very strong prophetic push from the Lord to bring a word about seed. And so as the ladies who all got these, some of you came in the side entrance. There are many more waiting for those who haven't got yet outside in the cafe area. So please help yourself afterwards. Okay. Anyway, let's get going. Mother's Day is not primarily about being a mother and receiving honor, but thanking God for the mother he gave us and giving honor. Because what we all have in common is that we all have a mom. Whether she's still with us, or whether she's gone to be with the Lord, we've all had a mom, okay? So a little story about my mom. She was very gentle, very not like me at all, very quiet and very sweet. And I was a literalist, okay, and also a seamstress. So in her older years, we thought just to keep her going and keep her active, we would get her a little dog. So Mark and I got her a little dog, and she fed this dog better than herself, I must tell you. It ate chicken morning, noon, and night. Anyway, this little dog, we also told her, because in South Africa, we also have fleas. So we told her that when you feed her, Monique, little dog, okay, make sure you give her some garlic. So I went to visit my mother one day, and because she was an excellent crochet person and sewer, she had gone to the shop and bought this big, big, big head of garlic and crocheted and sewed a real little thing around it, and it was tied in a big bow around Monique's neck. So we all have moms, right? Okay. Louise, beware, should I ever do that with Coca? Anyway. So today isn't just about Mother's Day for today, right? It's for seed planting for all the tomorrows that our Lord has in store for us. It's for all those whose lives are going to be impacted by our kingdom seed for his tomorrows. Seed is mentioned 279 times in the Bible, so it's quite important, don't you think? Each one of you are getting or have gotten one of these. Little breakable, I must add, terracotta pot with seeds that you can go and dig some soil and start. So seed is the thing today, okay? So let's think big picture about the seed. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10 says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." The big question is for us, and I know this is Mother's Day, but it's for everybody. Are we willing to sow and to plant? So in a minute, I'm going to show you a clip. Okay? Sherry's already with that. Not yet, darling. Okay? And I know some of you have seen this clip. It's in this week. It was shown to me. And when it was sent, it absolutely stunned and humbled me. Okay? And it swerved my message into what I really believe the Lord has for us from his Father's heart today. It ties up with the word, okay, which you can deduce now as seed. You know, sometimes when we hear something, I learned we had a Christian radio station back in South Africa, and we learned about advertising, and it takes a minimum of 14 times, subliminally, for people to actually hear and actually receive something. So I'm going to say seed hopefully 15 to 20 times so that we get seed right into our heads and hearts, okay? Because of course we're going to celebrate Mother's Day and motherhood and all its aspects today. But I want us to leave here encouraged to persevere. It's daunting, it's challenging, but God has given us a courageous role to play, okay? He's given seed to us, the sowers, and his word is pure seed. When planted in our hearts, it grows, matures, spreads, and compels us to share the fruit of it. So I'd love you all to watch this video and to try and imagine the incredible seed that has been sown into these people, for them to be sowing as they do, okay? It's not meant to be a heavy, when you watch it, Mark and I have actually been in places, we were specifically Mozambique one time, and pastors had come and walked for 3 days to have seed planted into them through the Word of God. In the heat and in the bush, they'd come and walked for 3 days. Most of them did not have Bibles, and honestly, I don't think that any of them had been educated enough to read. But they had the Spirit of God living alive and well in them. And when you were close to them and when you saw them in their humility, the anointing was a tangible thing. So we are blessed today to have the Word in so many choices that we do have. Okay. It's immeasurable seed that I want you to think about. Immeasurable seed. We have no idea sometimes the words that come out of our mouths that are inspirational or encouraging, what God will do with those seeds. What God will do with one seed, with one seed. Look at Billy Graham. One seed could trigger another Billy Graham or another us, okay, for the kingdom. So, lights low and watch the clip, okay. So what do you think? I stole your friend. When I saw that, it just impacted me so much. He's a very humble man, Wayne Cordero. He's from Hawaii, leads a spiritful church there, and I just loved his heart, and I thought that somewhere, someday, we needed to hear that. So thank you for indulging me. I'm going to talk about Timothy. I asked the Lord for a biblical example of where seed was sown, and Timothy came. Because these young Timothys and Timothinas that we have in our families and lives need and deserve the very best, the most excellent seeds. It's never too late to plant a seed. I read something the other day, just a question. When are the two best times to plant a tree? When are the two best times to plant a tree? So I thought I was going to ask these questions, and of course all the horticulturists said, oh well, the soil's got to be right and the sun's got to be right and, you know, and all that stuff. But you know what the answer is? 20 years ago and today. That's the right answer. When is the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago and today. So Timothy was a fine young man by all accounts, but the backdrop or the launching pad of his faith, if you will, was actually initiated by Lois and Eunice, his mom and grandmother, who incidentally had no Bible. Okay, they only had their Jewish relationship with God and some scripture from that, but they didn't know anything about New Testament patterns, nothing that we found and believe so glibly these days, to bring them to their knees. All they had was that, and that's what they gave. That's the seed that they planted. So no doubt, right from the womb, these two darlings got on their knees and prostrated themselves before the Lord for this young man. So our children and our children's children and theirs need us and our prayers. It's our legacy to them, and it's their inheritance from us. It's our legacy and their inheritance. You know, Timothy's dad was actually a pagan Greek. He was a pagan Greek, so no seed was necessarily planted for the good from him. So up to Lois and Eunice that God used to actually sow into him. So when, not until Paul came into town in Lystra, did Timothy actually hear the gospel of good news and became a real believer, okay? But I'll wager that the prayers of Lois and Eunice were the backdrop, and their godly input opened Timothy's heart to receive the truth of the gospel. I must just say this. God wastes nothing. God wastes nothing. Okay. God does not have a garbage bin. Just saying. That wasn't in my notes. Anyway. So on Paul's second visit, he recognized this hungry young man's potential and invited him to join him, and we know that. And the responsibility Paul gave Timothy was incredible. actually Timmy, let's call him Timmy, was actually quite quiet and reserved, okay? But Paul encouraged him, and we read it in both books and in Acts, that he encouraged him to hold fast to the faith that he had, to persevere. That's a huge word, to persevere in the gospel, to bring truth wherever, to plant seed, good seed, wherever he went, okay, to pastor, to teach, to bring correction, to do all the stuff that we read about, even though he was young, okay. With Paul's backing, Paul recognized something in Timothy, a lot of things probably in Timothy, that he knew that God had his hand on Timothy, and good seed had been put in, and Paul was all about putting more good seed in. For it to come a time when Timothy was actually a herald of the gospel. So our children, every single one of them have potential. The potential that God himself has created in them. And then it's up to us with the Holy Spirit to seek it out, to encourage it, and then to nurture it. So let's think about the seed, okay? To plant the most excellent seed for a great harvest, we're looking for harvest. We're looking for fruit from what we sow. We might not see it in our lifetime, but actually if we are consistently intentional about planting the most excellent seed that we have to pass on, there will be fruit, and it will be for his kingdom. That's the kind of fruit I'm talking about. So let's, Timothy is described in the word by Paul as 1 Timothy 1:2 says, I am writing to Timothy, who is my true son in the faith, my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. I love that, because what Paul does, he establishes who Timothy is, and then he covers them with a blessing and praise and cements grace and mercy and peace over Timothy. So Timothy, when Timothy went out, he had that incredible covering, that apostolic covering, that he could actually function with confidence in who he was as the Lord had made him. And then Paul refers to him as a co-worker. These are all wonderful seeds that have been planted that the fruit's actually risen up from. Servant, brother, son whom I love, my helper. He's faithful, Paul says. He's a commander and bringer of truth. You don't do that stuff. You're not a guardian of the gospel unless good seed has been planted. And it could be here from the pulpit. It could be moms and dads. It could be wherever. As long as there's just fruitful harvest that comes from the seeds that we are supposed to be planting. So in other words, go and plant good grade seed. Go and plant. It's an indictment from the Lord. Go and plant. Let us go and plant good grade seed. So I know by now you probably think, come on, Mom. Come on, Bridget. It's Mother's Day. Yeah, it is. But what an excellent opportunity to just massage in the kind of prayers that the Lord actually would love us to for our children. Today, Timothy is the example. We can be like Lois. We can be like Eunice. We can offer them to our faithful Lord. He knows it all to help us grow them up. I'm a realist, and I'm fully aware that home for some children, very sadly, can sometimes feel like World War III is imminent. And you may say, but Bridget, you don't understand. I'm a single mom. I'm exhausted at the end of every level. I know that, okay? I do understand. I was a single mom before the Lord gave me the gift of Mark. Now he's exhausted. I'm kidding. Okay? Also, wasn't in my notes. And I wasn't behaving myself as a good mom either, okay? But Jesus had his hand on Louise. And even without me acknowledging his presence, too afraid to, thinking that he would not want to look at me, okay? His plans and purposes still came to pass. You know, when Louise was little and starting school, starting kindergarten, I was the worst person. If I heard the headmaster's office, it was the worst thing that could happen to me because there was reason for me to go there. And so when I was taking Louise to this new school, I dressed her up in the smartest of clothes and off I went, but feeling fear and trepidation because I knew we were going into the headmistress's office. And that's scary. Anyway, in we went, and I taught Louise, do not touch other people's things, especially when you go into somebody's house. Don't touch, okay? So in she went with her little skirt and little brown shoes and everything else, and in she came. And this new headmistress was a collector of owls, O-W-L-S, and she had them like everywhere in her office, okay, winking at you, and not real ones, but you know what I'm saying, right? Every different kind of china and porcelain you can imagine, feathers and all, these owls were in that office, and Louise's eyes were like this. And so she immediately, instinctively, she put her little hands behind her back and she wandered around the headmistress's office. Oh, sorry, balancing myself. Anyway, she wandered around the headmistress's office with her hands behind her back. And Mrs. Brandon, her name was, she looked at me and she said, is she always like this? And then terror struck, because now I was a bad mom, right? Because I taught my child to put her hands behind her back in somebody else's area. And I said, yeah, she doesn't touch other people's things. She said, I'll have her. You don't need an interview. Immediate healing came to my heart, I must tell you. Such a good child. Don't do that anymore. The vacuum cleaner's waiting. Okay. But Jesus tells us in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So the Bible is our manual on how we can be good parents. How can we can be good moms, good dads, good grandfathers, Frank, good grandmothers, Wendy, and everybody else, okay? It's great instruction. It is the only sure instruction that we actually have, because with it we have a fabulous fighting chance. The very best we can do for our children is to give them the frames of reference that they need for their future, to prepare them, to propel them into the future where the same godly values that we are instituting and that they are seeing are foremost in their hearts and their heads as they step into their destiny. Actually, our job as moms and dads is to prepare them for leaving home so that they flourish, that they actually can thrive out there. Timothy's responsibility, Paul says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. Also, we need to take the prophetic words that are spoken over our children, the ones that we can trust to take, okay? And we need to pray. And pray that they will come to pass in due season. Lord's timing is not ours. His word doesn't return to him void or empty. And he will complete in our children what he has begun and promised. He is a faithful father. He is a faithful father. So let us all, mums and dads, Lois's and Eunice's, partner with our father. We can trust him. Let's plant good, acceptable to him. Acceptable to him. Lord, may this seed be acceptable to you that I'm planting in my child. Okay. So, let's actually ask Jesus to plant in us what he wants planted in them. Let him plant in us what he wants. He knows. He knows the end from the beginning. So, what he wants to be planted in our children, let us trust him to give us that seed to plant. Let's nurture and saturate with consistent prayer. I'm not wonderful at that. She's old now. She drives. Well, she's older, and she drives. But let me tell you, when she leaves the house in the morning, I'm all about praying. I'm like, Lord Jesus, please keep the crazy people away from Louise on the roads today. Please let there not be rain and sleet and snow and all that stuff that's going to stop her. Lord Jesus, please let her meet nice people today. Please let nobody have guns today, Lord. And I carry on like a maniac in the family room as she's happily driving off in her own car. It doesn't stop me praying. It does not stop me praying. Okay. So our call is to do everything possible, as I said, when they leave home, that they're fully equipped, fully equipped. So let's do this. I hope today hasn't been, isn't it's nearly coming to a finish, actually. I should have gone on and on, hey? But I won't, because there's cooking and food later, I'm sure, in many homes. But I want to encourage us to do this. We are a family here, and together we can not seed off one another, but feed off one another and help one another and lift one another's arms up. Not every child is just this little precious. They are all establishing themselves in different ways. They're all pushing envelopes that maybe even in our day, those envelopes had not even been created. But these kids are getting all sorts of stuff thrown at them. Let us together plant good seed in them so that at least they will know. There'll be a little nudge by the Holy Spirit to say, maybe this isn't so good, eh? Maybe this isn't so good. What does the Word of God say? That's the kind of thing we want them to think of. Let's do this. Let's inspire the little darlings that the Lord has given us. That He's actually given us and seen fit to loan us on this earth in our time of mothering and fathering. To be excellent in whatever call He has for them. That the seed that He's placed in our hands, let us be deliberate and intentional and kind and firm with actually sowing them as moms and dads and grandparents. I love this instruction that Paul gives to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. "Because you know those from whom you learnt it." Our children need to know and have the excellent frame of reference that when we say something that's for their good, that they take hold of that and they trust, they can trust to grasp it. And Paul goes on and says, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." So they were speaking Scripture over him, obviously, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus."